horror scenes and extermination camps. When Germany collapsed in the spring of 1945, it was after a long Allied propaganda campaign that had repeatedly claimed that people, mainly Jews, were being systematically killed in German camps. When the British captured the camp at Bergen-Belsen in northern Germany, they found a large number of unburied bodies lying around the camp. Photographs, such as Figure 10, and pictures of guards with unfortunate facial expressions, such as Figure 12, were accordingly reproduced all over the world. It is, I believe, Belsen which has always constituted the effective mass propaganda proof of exterminations, and even today you will find such scenes occasionally waved around as proof. In fact, these scenes, repeated in varying degrees at other German camps, for example Dachau and Buchenwald, were much less related to extermination than the scenes at Dresden, after the British-American raids of February 1945, when many times as many bodies were found lying around. The deaths at Belsen were the result of a total loss of control, not a deliberate policy. Equivalent scenes could easily have existed in any country invaded on all sides by enemy armies, crippled by powerful strategic bombings, which had caused all sorts of shortages and chaotic conditions. The major cause of the deaths at Belsen was a typhus epidemic. Everybody agrees that typhus was a constant menace in all German camps and Eastern military operations. For this reason, there was a real fear of typhus spreading throughout Germany, and vigorous countermeasures were applied. The typhus problem will play a most significant role in our story, because it was not merely at the end of the war that it manifested itself. The scenes at the end of the war were due to the total collapse of all measures against a disease that had plagued the German concentration camps since early in the war. The typhus was of the sort carried by the body louse, and consequently, defensive measures consisted in killing the lice, whose spread was due mainly to the constant rail traffic with the East. Thus, all survivor literature, sincere or inventive, and regardless of the type of camp involved, report the same basic procedures involved in entering a German camp: disrobe, shave hair, shower, dress in new clothes or in disinfested old clothing. At Belsen, the trouble had started in October 1944 with a breakdown of these measures. In the account of a political prisoner there, quote, "Towards the end of February 1945 my own situation changed completely. By that time typhus had become a serious danger for the whole camp. It was the species of typhus which is transmitted by lice. At one time, all the transports which arrived at Belsen had had to pass through a human laundry, and this disinfection seems to have been effective enough to keep the camp free from lice until the autumn of 1944. At the end of October, a big transport had, for the first time, been admitted to the camp without being disinfected, because there had been some damage to the machinery of the shower baths. Unfortunately, the people of this transport were louse carriers, and from that day the lice gradually spread over the whole camp. Typhus broke out in Camp 1 about the end of January. At first there were only a few cases, but a month later, a dozen had appeared, and it became impossible to check the disease," unquote. Another serious complication was that, in the final months, Belsen was considered a Krankenlager, a sick camp, so that many people entering were sick to begin with. The British could not check things at once, and over a quarter of those alive, when they took over the camp, were to perish in the first 4 weeks. Despite the very effective propaganda role of the Belsen scenes, nobody acquainted with the most easily obtainable facts claims exterminations at Belsen, and the British military court which tried the commandant, SS Captain Kramer, never accused him of supervising an extermination camp at Belsen. Today, in fact, exterminations at any of the concentration camps in Germany are not claimed by anybody trying to be serious. Belsen, Buchenwald, Dachau, etc. were not extermination camps. The extermination camps are all supposed to have been in occupied Poland, namely the camps referred to as Auschwitz, Belzec, Kulmhof, Chełmno, Lublin, Majdanek, Sobibor, and Treblinka. Also, exterminations of Jews were supposed to have been conducted in Russia by the Einsatzgruppen, employing either mass shooting or gas mobiles. The camps in Poland are also claimed to have employed gas chambers but, except for the case of Chełmno, stationary rather than mobile ones. Thus, the exterminations are supposed to have taken place only at locations which had been abandoned before being captured by the Russians, not at camps which were still functioning, however disastrously, when captured by Western troops. Although six extermination camps are claimed, one of them, Auschwitz, is the key to the whole story. It is for Auschwitz that quantities of documentary evidence are offered. There is little of any sort offered for the others. It was Auschwitz, as will be seen, that got the very special attention of Washington long before the end of the war. Thus, much of this work is necessarily concerned with the claim that at Auschwitz Jews were being exterminated during World War II.